You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
Morena, Nicola. How are you this morning?
Morena. I'm very well, thank you.
It's good to have you on the show today. There's been quite a bit of policy announced from the National Party over the last wee while. It's reorientation week here at the University of Auckland, and your party took that as an opportunity to announce that if you're in government, you're considering a policy that would allow people under the age of 30 to dip into their KiwiSaver to pay rental bonds. Now, this has been met by quite a lot of criticism from economists and policy analysts. What's the logic here?
This is a policy that's come directly from our youth wing, the Young Nationals, and the problem they identified as many young people starting out in their first flat or their first rental accommodation can struggle to get the bond together. 4 weeks' rent is a lot of money, and not everyone has access to the bank of mum and dad. And taking a loan out for a bond can be pretty expensive. So what we've put forward is a policy that says you can use your KiwiSaver savings for your bond, only for 5 years, and then at that point it needs to go back into your KiwiSaver, and only when you're under 30. So it's a time-limited policy, but it's a practical way of helping people who might otherwise struggle to make their bond.
But that's a lot of money that you could be making by letting that just sit in your KiwiSaver. Touching it is pretty dangerous stuff. It's already been quite controversial that we can even touch it to look at first home buying. Why is there not? Why is the National Party not looking at it from the other way around? Why not look at why bonds are so expensive and other ways to support? Or is that on the table?
I think you are right that people will need to be conscious when they take the money out for their bond payment that they're foregoing interest that would otherwise be earned on that money in their KiwiSaver account. So that's a choice that people will need to make in an informed way. Some people will make that choice, others won't.
But as you just said, Nicola, as you just said, it's not necessarily a choice for some people. If you have to pay the bond and that's your only option, then of course people are going to want to dip into it. So why not look at a different way to ease the bond burden on young renters?
We think this is an improvement on the current situation where there are people who will find it very difficult to access the funds for a bond, will end up taking a loan and paying quite a lot of interest on that. So we think this is an alternative. What it hopefully will do is encourage some young people to think about two things. One, joining KiwiSaver, but two, continuing to make contributions to it, seeing that it's got some real practical application for them. So all in all, people will have choices with this policy, but it's intended to deal with a real issue for some people and ensure that people are using KiwiSaver as a really important savings tool.
So the National Party's not looking at other methods of easing that bond issue?
Well, we're very concerned about how much rents have risen in recent times. They're up on average $150 a week in the past 5 years. That's massive. And we've got a suite of policies designed to reduce pressure on the rental market, reducing some of the additional taxes, the costs of which have been passed on to tenants. These are costs that Labor has added, ensuring that we encourage more housing to be built so there are more options, and in particular, encouraging a new type of build-to-rent housing, purpose-built rental housing that can provide long-term security of tenure. So we're very focused on dealing with the underlying drivers of high prices for rents.
Okay.
But this is also an immediate step we can take.
Well, we have talked about this before, but I'm interested because considering we are, you know, looking at students at the moment, you know, reorientation week is always a time of the year, particularly in an election where we do see a lot of policy from parties directed at these young people. I've been interested to see if there's more coming from National about renters policies that specifically support young people. And I was very surprised to see this as what we've got at the moment. Is the National Party going to be tabling anything else that provides immediate relief for the renting situation for young people? Because as you said, a lot of that policy that you're looking at is very long-term change.
Well, we've announced 27 policies so far, and our policies are designed to get at the root causes of some of New Zealand's most significant challenges. Because I think people are a bit over the election slogan that then doesn't get delivered on because it was only ever a superficial band-aid measure. You know, KiwiBuild is the classic example of that. It was a great slogan, Kiwi Build promised 100,000 houses. Actually, only 2,000 ever got built. So we're trying to be really substantive in our policy. Very confident that our housing approach, which is actually about getting rid of the barriers that have stopped people being able to build more rental accommodation in many of our large urban centres and the places where rent is expensive, will have an impact over time. And in addition, we will be removing the extra taxes that have added huge costs to renters, and will continue to do so. And that impacts our students and renters in particular.
Okay, well, what I'm asking though is, are we going to see any policy from the National Party, any further policy that specifically targets young people and people in tertiary education?
Yes, you'll be seeing a lot more policy from us, and we will be very focused on reducing the cost of living that particularly I know is impacting young people on fixed incomes, on ensuring that our tertiary education system is working well, and ensuring people have great opportunities when they graduate.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about Christopher Luxon's commitment to dual language government departments. This has come out of a bit of a back and forth in politicking this week, but he's committed to having dual language government departments, which we already have, but has said that he wants English to come first. Now, I'm very curious about this. Why would you want to put English first? Well, the reason we have Te Reo Māori there as the first language is because it is the first language of this country. Is there a different reason that the National Party thinks we should be swapping that around?
Well, look, I am really pleased to see the renaissance in Te Reo Māori that has occurred in New Zealand in recent decades. You and I grew up using quite a lot of Te Reo Māori, understanding Te Ao Māori, Kaupapa Māori. That was part of the education and the community that we were part of. But we need to be conscious that for older New Zealanders, those seniors in their 70s, 80s, 90s, that was not the world that many of them were brought up in. And so for them, they don't have that familiarity with Te Reo Māori. And we have this raised as a concern with us quite frequently by New Zealanders who say, look, when you say kāinga ora or waka kotahi, I can't immediately identify what you're meaning. And what they want to know is they want to be able to identify what a public agency is immediately, and we think that's fair.
Okay, so what are you proposing? You're saying that we'll change it back to the New Zealand Transport Agency, or we'll change it back to Housing New Zealand. I mean, that feels like stepping 20 years back into the past, Nicola.
Oh, it's just a question of emphasis, and we'll make sure that when we're talking about those government departments, we always use the translation as well.
Is this not a bad faith get for some of those perhaps slightly more conservative votes that you're worried might be going to ACT at the moment?
No, I just completely reject that. It's just about being practical and about the fact that, as I said, not everyone understands Te Reo Māori. Of course, it's great to see more people understanding it over time. We want to continue to use the language in public life, but we also want to make it accessible, not alienate people, by ensuring that translation's available. It'll probably mean that more people will feel comfortable with the language.
Okay, well, let's chat a wee bit about the National Party's Wellington Conference. I was really interested in your speech from this, Nicola. You said that you want to invest more in essential frontline services and infrastructure. We've actually already discussed this morning what some of that looks like. But you did also say you're concerned about this lazy politics of envy. I know this has been discussed in the media already, but I want to ask you about it. What do you mean by that, Nicola?
Well, I think there's two mindsets we can have. One mindset is a mindset of scarcity that says the only way that I can succeed is if someone else suffers. If someone else is doing really well, it's at my expense. So we have to continually divide up the pie differently.
Isn't that how society is structured at the moment? Isn't that what's going on?
If you let me finish my answer. What National wants to have is a mindset of growth, which is to say, how can we actually ensure this economy is growing so that there is more for everyone? And what we know is that growing economies require people who are being entrepreneurial, who are starting new businesses, who are investing, who are innovating, who are taking risks, building new factories, taking up new technology. And what all the evidence tells us is those countries which have attempted to put punitive wealth taxes on their wealth generators, on their job creators, on their innovators, have found not only have a large number of those people left their country altogether, taken the opportunities they were creating with them, but also it's been very destructive to parts of that economy. It has discouraged the investment that we need to see. So my view is, let's actually focus on growth. Let's absolutely ensure that we are lifting people up and we are delivering for people at all income levels. But you don't bring the bottom up by taking the top down.
Now, I'm very interested. We'll let you go in just a second, Nicola, but I am very interested in your thoughts before we let you go about what Roger Douglas has been saying this week. He's the founder of the ACT Party. He's been saying that ACT has become a party that governs for the rich alone. Are you guys concerned about some of the rhetoric we've heard coming out of the contemporary ACT Party, particularly in this election cycle? Because it's looking like if you got the votes, they would be the party you would be governing with if you managed to make it across the line.
Our focus is on National's policies and what we will deliver for New Zealand, because in an MMP contest, in an MMP election, people do have a choice of many parties. Our job is to grow support for our policies, our platform, and get people to vote for us. Of course, it's my view that our policies are better than ACT's. I think we would deliver for more New Zealanders with a more comprehensive approach. That's absolutely my view. I guess that's no different than if you had Chris Hipkins or Grant Robertson on your show this morning. That rejects the Green Party or Te Pāti Māori's policies in favour of their own too.
Well, Nicola, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's always great to have you on the show. Have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you in a couple of weeks' time. Kia ora.
Thank you. Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.